Man, I am not used to this. Wow. I tell you, what a difference. 10 days off. I mean, I think in the entire 25 and a half years of doing this, I can't remember having 10 days off ever. But I am back. It is Monday night, the 19th of September. And Friday, oh, we got to talk about the white rabbit. The white rabbit that everybody's... I tell you, look, I'm an AEW fan, but you could feel the difference with the atmosphere when it comes to Easter eggs. You know, we're going to talk about the white rabbit, who we think it is, who it likely is, who we would want it to be. We'll also talk about Roman Reigns versus Logan Paul at Crown Jewel. That is getting an interesting reaction. Probably the most excitement coming out of the last few days is something that broke earlier today. And you know what? Before we talk about Raw, before we talk about the nuclear heat that Dominic Mysterio got tonight, bravo, WWE, knowing your audience. West Coast, booyaka, booyaka, 619. You know, 7-hour drive to San Jose, I believe, if my MapQuest is correct. But I tell you, you know your audience. West Coast, California, Rey Mysterio country. You have Dominic getting nuclear heat tonight. And the funny thing about it is a majority of people didn't even put the two and two together. California, Mysterio, Dominic. Oh, it was beautiful. Loved every minute of it. Not only did you make Pappy proud, you made old Pappy proud. So, look, I want to thank everybody for all the congratulatories since I got married on September 3rd. Yes, I've officially tied the knot, and I had a great time in Florida. We'll talk about that towards the end of the show because I know you are here to talk about pro wrestling. I will tell you later on a little bit about NXT and my experience. And all I'll say is Tony D'Angelo, no photo opportunity, everyone. Nothing. Zilch, zippo, nada. You know, that's, look, I'm not going to crap on the guy. But, you know, this is a guy playing a character, developing a role. And, you know, look, the Don Tony history over here, I'm sure he probably is not aware of, nor does he give a shit about. But, yeah, that photo opportunity did not come. So I don't want anybody to wait for the whole show just to hear that. So but anyway, let's talk a little bit about what is going on. And yes, we will also talk about AEW Grand Slam that is taking place this week. You know, five pretty decent matches scheduled for Wednesday. And Rampage this Friday will be 2 hours. 2 hours. Eight matches are planned. Now, some of the matches, very predictable, but we'll run down the card. I'll give you some quick predictions. We'll talk about that as well. I got to give a special shout out to Rojo Bear and Austin Nance. I think they're celebrating 20 months being a loyal, dedicated member of the family here, a channel member. And you know what? You know, tonight, I have to mention this too. You know, tonight we had on Raw the celebration, Io Sky and Dakota Kai winning the Women's Tag Team Championships, as most of us figured, you know, a little over a week ago. I mean, Raquel Rodriguez and Aaliyah, it was a nice thought and everything, but nah, they really were not destined to have any extended run. Most of you out there predicted that Sky and Kai were going to win it last Monday, but they did a little championship celebration today, coming out with their own damage control golf cart. And the thing that I enjoyed about this segment most, I did not make that arrow. I don't know who did, but a shout out to Isaac. You know, it's funny to people online that are insisting, you know, hey, no, that's for Tony D'Angelo. You know, let's zoom in on that a little bit. I'm still a Don Tony guy. If that was intended for Tony D'Angelo, why would I have my hands on this? shout out to Isaac. Thank you very much, my brother. Put a big smile on my face seeing that tonight. The Don Tony familia is loyal, dedicated, and I always will give you respect. I will never clickbait you. I will never manipulate you. I will never play with your emotions just to force you to tune in. Yeah, we will have some fun with the white rabbit a little bit. And trust me, I have the video of the QR code. But before we talk about that, the news that really got me going today, War Games. You know, I think a lot of people don't realize that even though WWE has owned the War Games concept for quite some time now, it has never been on a WWE event. As far as, you know, NXT, yes. But as far as main roster, never. Never. And not only are we getting War Games for Survivor Series, and let me make this clear, not everybody is happy about that. Some people preferred the traditional Survivor Series matches. Now, look, I'm an old man. I'm an old guy. I've been around since before WrestleMania started as a wrestling fan. And I love the Survivor Series concept. But what is one of the things that has annoyed us about the Survivor Series, the typical five-on-five matches over the years? You always get two, three people that either get counted out, double disqualification, they get pinned in 35 seconds. You got 10 people in the ring. Five people on one side have to be pinned. And it doesn't always end up where it's a landslide finish. So you're talking about having seven, eight pins, countouts, seven, eight decisions in one match. That always kind of kills it for me. Somebody gets pinned. Someone goes in the ring, fruit roll up. Next thing you know, 10 seconds later, three people are eliminated. You do War Games. One fall. That's it. One match, one fall. And the beauty of it is we're getting two. Now, let me tell you two very important details about War Games coming to Survivor Series that too many people are jumping the gun about. Number one is this is not a guarantee that you're going to have a male side and a female side. Now, yes, Shotzi Blackheart suddenly acting like a baby face might be needed for Team Raquel or Team Bianca if there is a War Games match. It's not definite. Probably we'll get one male or one female, especially when you realize something that Triple H said, and he said that this is not going to be Raw versus SmackDown. I'm pretty sure we will have a Raw versus SmackDown match in some capacity. Maybe they do a battle royal before the show. I don't know. But Triple H went out of his way to tell, you know, the interviewer that spoke to him about this, the War Games match is going to be storyline driven. So you could see it a mile away. I mean, I could be way off on this. You could have the Bloodline versus a team probably led by Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to progress that storyline to lead into possibly as deep as the Royal Rumble, where Sami Zayn probably will end up causing the Bloodline to lose at Survivor Series, the War Games match. Now, it'll be really interesting because some people think that Sami Zayn could be part of Team Owens by the time Survivor Series is coming around, but no, I don't think so. I don't think so. You see this slow burn with Sami Zayn. It's going to go on for a little bit longer than we all expect. So the two very important aspects to come out of this is, number one, it's not a guarantee that you're going to have a male and female War Games match. It's probable. You don't want to have a second, in my opinion, if I was WWE, I would not have two male War Games matches. What happens if you have another men's war game match and they blow away the bloodlines? Well, you want all that spotlight as far as the men's side of things to be on the bloodline versus whoever. So I think in the end, I think we will have a male war games and a female. Another aspect that you need to know also is that, you know, he went out of his way to say, you know, it's not going to be traditionally Raw versus SmackDown or even NXT. So, you know, we're not going to get, it's on! We may get a little of it. Sure, we're going to see something with tag teams in some capacity. But War Games is coming to Survivor Series. And I am really looking forward to it. I think that's going to be pretty freaking sweet, man. Pretty sweet. Now, as far as Logan Paul taking on Roman Reigns at Crown Jewel, you know, for traditional wrestling fans out there, you know, when you look at ratings, you know, use Rampage, use NXT, use whatever you want, and you see 18 to 49 ratings, and they average like 0.14. We don't pay attention on demos. You look at the overall numbers. That's what matters. You know, but you look at that percentage, it is such a small number of people, a small number of people. And the ones that usually whine and complain about stuff like this usually fall into that very, very small demographic. And this is Saudi Arabia spectacle. We had Tyson Fury, you know, involved with Saudi Arabia. You get novelty matches. We had DX Reform, which turned out to be a disaster. You know, they made a big deal about Goldberg, larger than life. Remember, we had Team Hogan versus Team Flair. Saudi Arabia is a spectacle. It is an insane money grab on WWE. The amount of money that Logan Paul is going to make on this match, and the amount of money that WWE is going to make on this. This is World Wrestling Entertainment, and I don't back everything that they do. But how many years, how many decades have to go by where people stop acting shocked, surprised, dismayed that a guy with only a couple of matches under his belt, you know, is going to get an opportunity at the Universal Championship? Don't look at it like that. There's no chance in fucking hell that Roman Reigns is going to lose to Logan Paul. Logan Paul blew me away at WrestleMania. Logan Paul is going to put the fight of his life, and Roman Reigns, the story is going to be that he wasn't expecting this, but in the end, Roman Reigns is going to win. You know, if that bothers you that much, then don't watch Crown Jewel. You know, it's funny, Crown Jewel's been around for a few years now, and you know, you see some people that win matches, you see some people that get opportunity, that everyday WWE life, it's not the case. You know, I think this is an excellent, excellent idea. You know, Logan Paul is not going to be in the title hunt following this match, you know, but you know, if he sucked at WrestleMania, if he gave us a very subpar performance, I'd be right with you complaining about it right now. But I think some of you out there really need to rewatch the match that Logan Paul had at Mania. Then you add the fact, you got the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, the number one guy in the WWE, that is going to make him look even better than that. And Roman Reigns is going to force Logan Paul to do even better. Logan Paul may end up doing better in this match than he did at Mania. And no one in their right mind ever expected to see what Logan Paul did at Mania. I have no problem with this. It's a spectacle. Not everything has to be based on rankings, you know, experience, matches, momentum, you know, your fit. No, this is fine. This is fine. I have no problem with this whatsoever. And I think this fucking match, oh, Kress, this match will go 15 to 20 minutes. This match will go for quite some time. Logan Paul is going to put on a performance. And the commentators, it's going to be up to them to tell the story that Roman Reigns was not prepared for this. And Logan Paul is going to push Roman Reigns. Maybe not as hard as Drew McIntyre. That match went 30-plus minutes. But this match, I think, is going to surprise a shitload of people out there. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it. If my voice sounds a little shangada today, I am a little bit under the weather. She's actually this close of the flu right now. She's got a 99 fever. She tested for COVID a couple of times, came back negative. I feel a little bit off. I took a COVID test this morning, negative as well. I was surrounded by tons and tons of kids, and I have nothing against kids. But I went to Disney for the last 10 days, and you don't know what it's like to be on rides and to sit in the queue, and all you hear is all these kids screaming at the top of their lungs, and you hear these other kids, you know, and it was a germ fest. It was a germ orgy. So, you know, we're kind of a little bit run down, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. I will tell you all this. I went on Guardians of the Galaxy. If any of you have ever been to Disney World, never went on that ride, it was the worst decision of my life. I have a picture because they automatically take the picture. I don't have it here tonight, but if you look at that picture, my wife's face is this, and I'm like this. If you ever want to commit murder, seriously, you want to commit the perfect crime, and you know whoever that person is has a very weak heart, bring them on the Guardians of the Galaxy ride for like 2-3 times in a row. You know, and trust me, they'll do themselves in. They'll just, that's it. Shake me like a rag doll. Remember China with Terry Reynolds? Remember China's debut? And she was shaking? That's what it felt like. That's what my battery pack in my spine, it's located, always since my surgery is located here. I think it's up here now. Okay. All right. You know, later on when we talk about some ratings, I got to give props to AEW about something. Something that is not being talked about by many people, and I think this Wednesday's AEW Dynamite, if there was ever an episode that AEW, they want to brag to advertisers, networks, Wednesday's rating, not the 1,000,175, fuck that. They should be getting that. But something about the ratings that I'm going to share with you in a little bit, that this is something that AEW, they should be touting this. This is something they should be talking and not. You know, NXT should be very proud as well because we've talked about this even before I went on vacation. You know, people don't realize that NXT's numbers now are better than what it was in 2020 and 2021. That was the black and fucking gold era. So imagine going back and seeing NXT TakeOver 35, and you see Killer Cross, Karrion Cross, and Adam Cole, and Raquel Gonzalez, and Samoa Joe, and others, and you realize that the ratings for the last 7 weeks are better now than what they were back then. It says a lot. It says a lot. So, all right. Before we go any further, talking about that, let's talk a little bit about Raw. Now, tonight on Raw, the focus was around three previously advertised matches. We were going to get Bobby Lashley defending the United States Championship against Seth Rollins. And we got Extreme Rules in a couple of weeks. So you know tonight was going to be the build towards Extreme Rules. And, you know, I was anticipating a great match tonight. Problem is, in the back of my mind, I expected Riddle to come out to interfere. And then once that ended up happening, costing Seth Rollins the match, then I expected Seth Rollins to deliver a little receipt to Riddle a little bit later on in the night when Riddle and Ray took on Judgment Day. I'm a poet in case you didn't know it. So that was one match that was previously advertised. Kevin Owens versus Austin Theory. Man. I watched journalists that have been shitting on Austin Theory for quite some time now. And I saw three different journalists, bigwigs, I would call them, giving props to Austin Theory tonight, saying, man, that guy is putting it together. It's not about the losses right now. He's losing a boatload of matches, but he is developing and gelling, and that is not go-away heat. He may still be go-away heat to you, but fans now want to see him get his ass kicked. And that guy, when he cuts the promos and he's getting showered with the what chance, and he is unhinged, he doesn't get unhinged. He is cool as a cucumber. And him and Kevin Owens, man, they do great together. And, you know, I don't know if people realized it. Almost every match tonight got a This Is Awesome chant. Believe it or not, you go back and you watch it. I think four of the five matches got This Is Awesome chants. I don't know if Bayley and Alexa Bliss did. I don't recall hearing that. But every match tonight at some point got it. And the matches tonight were solid. So that was another match that was advertised beforehand. And we were also going to get Miz TV and Dexter Lumis. Now, when does Dexter Lumis wrestle? Could it happen in Extreme Rules? I don't know what that was. You see the camera shaking? Are we having an earthquake? I don't know what the fuck that was, but that was kind of creepy. I didn't touch it. Dexter, are you behind there? They had Dexter Lumis playing off that he was at the Miz's house. The Miz was celebrating his daughter's third birthday. And, you know, Dexter Lumis, man, the crowd loves it. Crowd loves it. Anybody that followed NXT, way before the wedding stuff, there's still a ton of people that don't even know the storyline with Dexter Lumis and Austin Theory. And you remember the payoff on that? Oh, no, we watched cartoons and ate cereal. You know, so you don't want Dexter Lumis to come off as this creepy predator. But something about Dexter Lumis, I don't know if it's the eyes, but I got to be honest with you. You know, when you see that, you know, you kind of like get a little nervous. You know, it is TVPG. I mean, it's just a knife. It's just a knife. Yeah, that's my Crocodile Dundee impersonation. Miz is out there for Miz TV, and Dexter Lumis was invited. Nowhere to be found. Next thing you know, there's a knife sticking out of the mat. Miz doesn't see it. Dexter Lumis cuts a hole big enough so he can, you know, pull his body through. Miz turns around, and there is Dexter Lumis. He tries to pull Miz underneath. Then he tries to get the Ciampa. Ciampa, I think, wails him with a microphone. I'll tell you the truth. When Miz backed into the corner and Ciampa was just like in awe, I thought Dexter Lumis was going to go from under the ring to the opposite side and then grab Miz from the back outside the ring. But, you know, instead, you know, Dexter Lumis just stood by the hole. So we got to talk about multiple holes tonight. Yeah, we got to talk about multiple holes tonight. Can we talk about the rabbit hole now? Can we talk about it? Okay, let's talk about the rabbit hole. And I have the video for you as well. We got more QR codes. Now, remember the QR code in NXT. Do you remember 2 months ago, the QR code for NXT? We had no idea what it was. Riddle me this, riddle me that. It turned out to be the return of Zoe Stark. And I got to be honest with you. Up until now, that was just like a wet fart. I mean, it just fell flatter than flat. Just because Triple H is, too many people feel that things can't go wrong. And I'm not doubting that this is going to be good. But keep in mind that some of these teases, I think some people are expecting the biggest surprise. But then what ends up coming might be a letdown to some. So what happened today? And look, forgive me if anybody goes back to the Minority Report. I can't resist. Tonight, they flashed a QR code while Austin Theory was preparing for his match. And the QR code brought you to a page on WWE's website. Now, I'm going to go one step ahead. The QR code showed it showed Hangman. You know, you Hangman, you play Hangman, you guess the word, and every time you get a letter wrong, you know, it draws and you, okay. Now, you know, they're not going to get to the point where somebody is hung. You know, it's not appropriate for WWE television. But the thing is, over the last week or so, WWE has been playing White Rabbit at SmackDown between commercial. I think they might have done it tonight on Raw. There is some footage on Twitter of fans showing footage in the crowd. The building goes pretty dark, so everybody puts their lights on. And when you see everybody putting their lights on their phone, everybody thinks Bray Wyatt. Now, I need to give you a little history. And for those out there, you know, I was going to open up with this and I didn't. But, you know, this is the difference between just enjoying Easter eggs and being a wrestling fan and the difference between that and assholes online that try to school you and make fun of you because you don't know CM Punk came out to some type of music back in Ring of Honor 15 plus years ago. CM Punk actually, and I defended the fuck out of CM Punk the last couple of weeks, but that motherfucker ripped a writer on Observer because that writer did not know CM Punk's theme from Ring of Honor. Fuck you. Not every wrestling fan out there needs to know about wrestling history. You want to get casual people to tune in and wonder. So during the WWE events, they're playing White Rabbit. Now, a lot of young wrestling fans out there never heard the song before. And the song that I'm talking about, for anybody that's into classic rock, what they're playing during the shows is this. Oop, maybe this is better. Okay. Jefferson Airplane, White Rabbit. That song is from 1967. Can I fix this? I don't know if it's going to let me center it. Let me see if I can fix this. You know me. I'm a little stickler to having things look as good as possible. Okay, that's better. Okay. That is the song. They're playing the a cappella during the commercials. That is the song that they're playing. Now, if anybody goes back to Lucha Underground days, White Rabbit was teased for Killer Cross's debut in Lucha Underground. Now, before I show you the video, I'm going to show you the last part of it. And this is why I think people need to reel it in about the possibility of it being Bray Wyatt. And the reason why is because here, okay? This was the end of the Hangman puzzle that we saw tonight. Who killed the world? You did. Look in the lower right-hand corner. It's an hourglass. Everything about Karrion Kross, TikTok, hourglass, Scarlet. Do you really think that WWE would just randomly put an hourglass in a on this video, on this graphic, where it could be intended for someone else? Meanwhile, that's part of Karrion Kross's shtick. So when I saw that hourglass, I said, look, out of respect for Karrion Kross's gimmick, you don't put the fucking hourglass. Now, think about that. If they didn't have the hourglass in this video, would it have made any difference? Seriously. If you saw this and there was no hourglass, would it really have made that much of a difference? So the fact that they put the hourglass, and the hourglass is associated for Karrion Kross, Triple H in WWE is not going to be disrespectful and put that symbol for someone else unless Cross is not going to use it anymore. So this more than likely is going to be Karrion Kross. Okay. Now, if you would like to see the video itself, okay, this is what was shown today on WWE. This was the QR code. And you click on it. Okay. Wait a minute. Why can't we see this? Hold on. Oh, okay. Sorry. I had the wrong page up. There we go. All right. We can reset it. There we go. Here you go. This is it. You go on the page. This will get who killed the world. And you got the letters. You see the hourglass? Now, look, before I say anything else, I know what someone's going to say to me right now. Well, DT, when you play Hangman, you got to use a clock because if you don't guess within a certain number of seconds, then they actually start drawing the Hangman. I get it. But you don't use an hourglass. So you have the rabbit putting the words together. All right, let's keep it going. Now, we know what it spells because I showed it to you already. Okay. All right, here we go. All right, hurry up. Let's go, rabbit. There you go. All right, cool. You did it. Okay. So that's the video that they showed. There was many other things they could have put other than an hourglass. Now, what I wrote tonight, if just to piss people off, I would love for it to be Charlotte Flair. Just to piss people off. Just for people to be like, motherfucker. Just to piss people off. Now, one other thing about that video, and this is why I believe it's got to be Karrion Kross. It's got to be. At the end of the video, they showed 9/23. Not only did they show the date of 9/23, they showed the time of 9/23. That's Friday night. So Friday night, it's going to be very interesting to see the quarter hour ratings breakdown for Friday night. Because at 9:23 p.m. on Friday, 9/23, that will be revealed. It would shock you how many people are convinced that it's Bray Wyatt. If it was October 23rd, closer to Halloween, I know we don't want him back as the Fiend. We want him come back as maybe a variation of his David Koresh type character. But it's too close. It's 5 days away. We're going to Extreme Rules. Drew McIntyre and Karrion Kross, I keep saying killer, they're probably going to have a match. So more than likely, we're going to get Karrion Kross as the reveal. So I want to just keep it in perspective. But again, when you hear that a cappella in the WWE arenas playing, this is the song that they're playing. It is Jefferson Airplane's White Rabbit from 1967. Read the lyrics. I would love to play some of the song for you right now, but I don't want any copyright issues here. But if you go, you could check it out on YouTube. But read the lyrics. When you read the lyrics, this fits more of Killer Kross. Remember the Chosen Ones? Remember him going, you know, sort of going after Roman Reigns, but that kind of flopped. I mean, I brought it up before. If there was any mistake that WWE has done so far with Killer Kross's return as Karrion Kross, that is him and Roman Reigns. Because originally they made it seem like he was going after Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre, but now it's like 90% Drew McIntyre and 10% Roman Reigns. It is what it is. But that is the White Rabbit. Everybody wants it to be Wyndham. Everybody wants it to be Bray Wyatt. I would fucking love it to be Bray Wyatt. I can't wait to see that guy back in wrestling. especially when more of the chains are pulled off and those years of rest, you know, even though, you know, his body physically is resting, his mind is resting as well. And I guarantee you that motherfucker, besides spending it with his family, JoJo, his kids, I guarantee you that guy's brain has been coming up and just thinking of ideas and how he could be bigger and better than before. So it's going to be massive when he returns. And then the hits just keep on coming, because not too long afterwards, we could start looking forward to the return of Cody. And then you start getting into 2023, road to WrestleMania, contracts in AEW start turning over, and you start seeing who's going to jump here. Wow. The next 18 months, really, it's going to be difficult for WWE and AEW to fuck things up. Impact Wrestling, though, I think they're done. I hate to say this. I root for them. I watch their show more in the last 2 years than I have done over the last 10 years, but they're pretty much done. 2 weeks ago, their ratings were 60,000. I thought the Queen didn't die 2 weeks ago, you know, with all due respect. There was no mass tragedy. There was no giant playoffs. You know, you could blame it on football, blame it on what you want. But this past week, oh, their rating went up to 67,000. 67 fucking thousand. Back then, 67,000 would have been a horrible number for New Japan Pro Wrestling. They're now scoring in the 60s. This is the lowest Impact has ever done. It gets to a point where you have to say to yourself, the people behind Impact Wrestling, where do you say, look, I truthfully believe the landscape of wrestling is going to be quite different within the next 3 years. NWA, Impact Wrestling, MLW, I would be very concerned about all three of those promotions. I don't wish their demise. There's a lot of very, very good people working in those companies. There's some fucking talented wrestlers. But, you know, when people talk about, you know, wrestlers that come in from Japan and they're gushing, and you see the Briscoes, or you see this person, and they show up on Impact, and nothing bumps it. Nothing bumps it. There's nothing out there that is going to turn it around in any dramatic capacity. You can have EC3 tease Control Your Narrative showing up here, showing up there. I want to see Control Your Narrative go places. Shit, of course I would. I would have loved to have done stuff with them. But, you know, you realize now, wow, Braun Strowman is gone, Killer Cross is gone, and it's almost like you cut the head and you cut the legs off. I mean, two people, and look what's transpired. I think the only person who has benefited from Control Your Narrative in the last couple of months is some YouTube channel that keeps showing up on my recommended feed. Control Your Narrative is dead. Control Your Narrative is on life support. Control Your Narrative is this. I'm like, man, you want to jerk these people off. I can't. If they say we're officially done, you know, what's that channel going to do? Every week it's Control Your Narrative, like wishing demise. I don't wish that on anybody. So, all right, let's get back to Raw. So the opening match tonight, believe it or not, was in fact Bobby Lashley retaining the United States Championship against Seth Rollins. This match was very interesting because early on, we had a lot of let's go Bobby chants. As the match continued, it started shifting over to let's go Rollins. And if you go back and you see towards the end of the match, Bobby Lashley, when he was hitting some offense, he was getting a decent amount of boos. And I'm starting to see more and more people out there that are saying, come on, man. You look at who's on Raw from Rollins. What the fuck is going on with AJ Styles? you know, Kevin Owens now really getting momentum. I mean, he's destined for tag team gold. Right now, him and Gargano having a little bit of an alliance is awesome. But eventually it'll be him and Sami Zayn. But a lot of people are like, wow, you know, like it's great to see the United States Championship featured and pushed and celebrated and given a lot more respect than it's had in the last couple of years. No question. But we also have to admit that the United States Championship is being pushed really fucking hard on WWE Raw is because no one is heavyweight champion there. You know, Roman Reigns. Oh, this Friday on SmackDown, he returns. And in 2 weeks, he returns. In 2 weeks, Roman Reigns shows up on Raw like once every four times he shows up on SmackDown. And Raw, it feels like, you know, someone needs to be more. And United States Championship, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make us feel that the United States Championship is the heavyweight championship on Raw. Bobby Lashley wears it proud and does an awesome job with it. But in the end, you're starting to feel the effects of what happens when you have both titles, you know, Roman Reigns having a stranglehold. But on the flip side, Roman Reigns is not doing a bad job, you know, and they're utilizing him pretty well. It doesn't feel like he's, you know, as much of a part-time player. You know, when you're the heavyweight champion, you know, look, I don't want to go back to the 80s, but I remember damn well. Hogan was on house shows. You wanted to see Hogan, you had to go to the Garden, you had to go to the Spectrum, you had to go to the Boston Garden, you had to go, you know, to other places. And WWE would have two events taking place on Saturdays and sometimes Sundays and even during the week. And it would be an A squad and a B squad. So Hogan wasn't always featured in every town, but the point is that you got to see it heavyweight. Even Backlund. I was a fan of WWF when Backlund was champion. I loved Backlund as champion. His promos were horrible, but he was great as a champion. You ever got him on TV, it was rare. So Roman Reigns not appearing as much, you know, as the heavyweight champion, that's not as far out of the normal, you know, as it was back in the day. It just feels different because we're used to how much Roman has been on TV. By the way, hope everybody's enjoying the show. If you are, take a moment. RKO that like button. I almost forgot we have different moves. So yeah, we just used up our RKO. So RKO that like button. You know, anyone else out there to like the channel, tune in, subscribe, enjoy. So this match tonight with Lashley and Seth Rollins, excellent. As the match went on, more support for Seth Rollins started coming out. There was one point where Bobby Lashley attempted a superplex off the top rope, and Seth Rollins reversed it, turned it into a buckle bomb, immediately followed with a frog splash for a two. Running power slam by Bobby Lashley, that's the move. You go back and you'll hear the biggest mixed reaction of the entire night. You know, fans love Seth Rollins. I never left the boat. I've always been on the train for Seth Rollins. You know, you hear everybody serenading, you know, they're not just doing it to just be part of the show and have a good time. They see Seth Rollins is putting 150% out there. So Bobby Lashley attempts a spear, and it is reversed, turned into a pedigree by Seth Rollins, only for a two count. Rollins misses a top rope spot, but immediately goes for a curb stomp, which looked great on TV. These two have some great chemistry. I wouldn't mind seeing a return match between those two. I don't think we'll get it, though, because of what happened later on between Rollins and Riddle. And I don't want to jump ahead yet. I'll tell you in a moment. But Seth Rollins goes for a top rope move. Bobby Lashley gets out of the way. Rollins immediately tries to hit a curb stomp, but is put in a hurt lock. Seth Rollins hits a low blow with the referee not looking. Only way to break the hurt lock. Riddle's music hits. The pop that Riddle got was pretty massive. you go back and you tune in, Riddle comes out. He's on the rampway. He distracts Seth Rollins. Next thing you know, spear by Bobby Lashley. He gets the win. And Seth Rollins is very pissed off. Distracted by Riddle. You know, we're going to get a receipt a little bit later on. Jump a few moments ahead because we can stay on the topic of Rollins and Riddle. We had a tag team match of Rey Mysterio and Riddle teaming up to take on Finn Balor and Damian Priest. Rhea Ripley, everything that she's doing, I'm enjoying with the exception of one thing. I'm getting a little tired every time they come out there. She always says that they're the ones running Monday Night Raw. It's every time. And yeah, it's supposed to get under your skin, but Dominic Mysterio tonight, Jesus Christ. And like I said earlier, know your audience. They're on the West Coast. Rey Mysterio, I don't want to put it on the level of Bret Hart in Canada, but Rey Mysterio, when it comes to the West Coast, you have Dominic doing his dad dirty. Not only did he make Pappy very proud, but that motherfucker was getting nuclear heat tonight. It was not go-away heat. And he's trying to cut a promo, and, you know, the crowd is just getting louder and louder. And I think it was Damian Priest that said, it's a big deal to stand up to your enemies, but it's a bigger deal to stand up to your father. And that was pretty good. And Rhea Ripley saying that Dominic Mysterio now is all man. You know, little innuendos that, you know, Rhea may have helped Dominic a little bit to become a man. And then they do their own portrait. Where is it? Hold on. I'm trying. Is this the portrait? Yes, that's the portrait. And I'm telling you, everything that they're doing with Dominic right now, look, a lot of people feel that he's not ready. If you notice, he's not wrestling. Sure, it's going to ultimately be Dominic Mysterio versus Rey Mysterio. That match has to come. Who knows? That could happen in Saudi Arabia. That might be the match that Saudi Arabia wants. But you look at this photo. Look, I am not the biggest Dominic Mysterio fan. But that's supposed to piss you off. That's supposed to just make you want to smack him across the head. You know, look at the reaction he got tonight. How do you criticize that? You can't. Now, yes, it's inflated because it's the West Coast. But that left an impression on everybody tuning in all across the globe. And ultimately, Seth Rollins interferes or attempts to interfere in a match towards the end because of what Riddle did earlier in the night. Seth Rollins grabs a chair, Rey gets it away from him, and Rollins runs through the crowd. But because of that, Riddle is distracted, and Rey is distracted as well. And at one point, Rey had the chair in his hand. And Dominic, I enjoyed it. He went outside the ring. He went on his knees. And he's like, hit me. Hit me. One shot. Now, it is kind of goofy. Because when Rey is looking at the crowd and almost teasing, he's not going to hit his son. You know, to even like pause and look at the crowd, you know, that was a little bit ridiculous. You know, if I'm him in storyline, I look at my son and be like, what are you nuts? I throw the chair away immediately. I don't look at the crowd for a reaction and then throw the chair down. But it was funny because it almost looked like Dominic said pussy. I know he didn't, but it kind of looked like he did. But ultimately, coup de grace on Rey. Priest and Balor get the win. And, you know, Edge, will he appear in Extreme Rules? It's possible. Look, Edge is really beloved in Saudi Arabia. That Crown Prince, Edge is high on their list. So something is going down in Saudi Arabia with Edge. We may end up seeing, who knows? Could be Edge, Riddle, and Rey Mysterio versus Dominic, Damian Priest, and Finn Balor. Don't expect Rhea Ripley to physically get involved with the men in Saudi Arabia. That's not happening. But Roderick says Rey versus Dominic at Mania. That's not as far off as you think. You know, we're towards the third week in September. October, November, December. Next thing you know, you got Royal Rumble, the road to WrestleMania. 6-7 months comes like this. I mean, think about it. WrestleMania was almost 6 months ago. So it doesn't feel that long ago. So it's a lot closer than you think. And yeah, if WWE could stretch this out to Mania, you imagine if Dominic could put a little bit more together between now and Mania, the heat, you know, obviously, you know, he's going to have to show a little bit of concern for his father. Like his father, Ray's going to have to get beat down a few times more. Dominic's got to show a little bit of compassion, but ultimately stay on the dark side. And then this leads to a match because, and you know what? I think you're onto something, Roderick, because if I'm Ray in storyline, I will never fight my son. I will never step in a ring and fight my son. You know, so shit's got to really get fucking to the point where Ray agrees that he's going to teach his son a lesson he'll never forget. Might have to get the other members of his family. It's going to, look, don't be surprised if we get Aaliyah and the potted plant make an appearance on TV. Son, you know, with Aaliyah, with her brother, what have you done? What are you doing? This is familia. Shit could happen. All right. Let's finish up the rest of Raw tonight. Early on, as I showed you earlier, we had a championship celebration for Damage Control. Bayley comes out driving a golf cart. Sky and Kai holding the titles high in the air. They're in the ring touting their win. Bayley makes the mistake of starting to poke fun at Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair comes out. She's not alone. She's with Alexa Bliss, Rey, and Asuka. Sorry about the yellow arrow. That's the only screenshot I have tonight other than this. They're in the ring. And Bayley is, you know, talking a little bad mouth, especially to Alexa Bliss. You know, Alexa Bliss is kind of a shell of what she used to be. I will say this. You know, this led to a match tonight between Bayley and Alexa Bliss. That actually was the main event for tonight's Raw. I thought we may possibly get Miz TV and Dexter Lumis close out Raw, but we got Bayley and Alexa Bliss. And there's a reason behind it, because, you know, during that match, you had Sky and Kai outside the ring causing a little bit of interference. Asuka and Bianca Belair tried to even things up. One point, Asuka, she went butt first into the ring steps, and that shit looked like it hurt her tailbone. I mean, that shit looked pretty stiff. But unfortunately, because of the outside distraction, Bayley defeats Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss, I mean, as I was watching this main event tonight, I kept thinking about This Is Your Life. Do you remember that? With Bayley and Alexa, This Is Your Life. Do you remember that awful shit? Oh, my God. We've come a long way with that. I don't know what you do with Alexa Bliss at this point. Now, I will say this. At one point during the match, the arena went dark for a split second. I don't know if that was intentional. It doesn't happen almost ever. So it could have just been, hey, let's fuck with the fans. Flick the switch for half a second. So, you know, anything that happens. Look, I saw somebody tonight when the white limo pulled up and it was Damage Control inside. There was like a little like piece of a pole sticking out on the side. It was nothing. And because the light reflected on it a little bit, you had people online trying to say that, is that Bray Wyatt's lantern? Like, they're now, any little thing, they think there's an Easter egg. And as a wrestling fan, that's probably a good thing. It probably is a good thing. I don't think it's going to, you know, may disappoint some people because they're really getting their hopes up for shit. But after the match was over, you know, we had all three members of Damage Control take out Alexa Bliss. Asuka tries to help. She gets laid out. Bianca Belair hits the ring. She ends up getting laid out. And Bayley gets on the mic and she says that, you know, it's time. She wants the Raw Women's Championship. So Bianca Belair and Bayley will fight for the Raw Women's Championship at Extreme Rules. That is not the only match that has been announced tonight. Now, even though they did not, I don't think they did say it for Extreme Rules. I'm pretty certain it is for Extreme Rules. After the Judgment Day defeated Riddle and Rey Mysterio, we went to commercial, we come back, and there's a pull apart in the back with Seth Rollins and Riddle. And it was nothing like from a few weeks ago. This was your typical pull apart. And Seth Rollins is like, I'll fight you anywhere, any place, anytime, whatever you want, I'll fight you. And Riddle says, fight Pitt. And Rollins accepts. So we're going to get Riddle, Matt Riddle versus Seth Rollins in a fight pit. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm like, look, Matt Riddle needs to get a win. I mean, he loses way too many times. You know, people expect it. And Seth Rollins, you know, remember the last pay-per-view, that was his first win in over a year. On premium live events, excuse me. So you don't want Seth Rollins to start going on this premium live event losing streak again. I mean, people want to see some gold around Seth Rollins. I think the United States Championship might be the easiest path to that at the moment. But it, with Extreme Rules, though, Fight Pit might be the only way to give Matt Riddle a win here because Seth Rollins is out of his element. Matt Riddle will probably knock him out, and that's how Matt Riddle gets his win. Ben says Rollins doesn't need gold. Of course he doesn't need gold. But fans want to see him with gold. Fans want to see him with a championship. They're serenading the fuck out of him. You know, gold represents victory. You're winning. You keep that title, you're winning. At some point, you know, he needs to carry gold again. Look at Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens has not had any form of a championship 5 years. Think about that for a minute. Not even a 24/7 title. And at this point, for some fans, it might be a badge of honor. Like, yeah, good. I don't want his name on the record books for the 24/7 title. But 5 years should not be that hard to get gold. Now, you don't want everybody to have it. Look at AEW. There's like, what, 30 titles? You really look at all the titles, you know? And you know how I feel about the FTW championship. Nothing against Hook, but it's all over their fucking commercials. You know, it shouldn't be this difficult for someone like a Kevin Owens or an AJ Styles or a Seth Rollins to get some type of gold. Bobby Lashley is wearing it well right now. And I'm not criticizing Bobby Lashley in any way, but Rollins needs a little bit of gold. We had Kevin Owens defeating Austin Theory. Excellent match. Crowd loved it. This is awesome chance. Towards the end of the match, Austin Theory went for the Money in the Bank briefcase that was sitting in the corner. Johnny Gargano, that briefcase looks all fucked up. That's not Photoshop. That briefcase looks, oh my God, is that briefcase all messed up? Gargano grabs the briefcase and Theory is looking for it. And Gargano's like, oh, you looking for this? So Johnny, a lot of distraction victories tonight, if you didn't realize it. A lot of distraction victories. In fact, I think almost every match tonight had a distraction victory. But Johnny Gargano grabs the briefcase. Austin Theory is pissed off. He gets distracted. Next thing you know, Theory eats a super kick, cannonball, and a pop-up powerbomb for the win. So while Austin Theory is on the mat selling the shit that he just got knocked out of, Gargano picks up the briefcase. He has it over Theory, and he's like, "Oh, you want it?" And he drops it, kind of lands on his nuts. So later on, we get a little backstage confrontation with Alpha Academy and Johnny Gargano. Kevin Owens shows up, and Kevin Owens is like, "Hey, Johnny had my back. I got his back." Then next thing we know, next week, we have Alpha Academy taking on Johnny Gargano and Kevin Owens. Tag team match. I think that's going to be a pretty good match. I'm looking forward to it. Now, one match tonight, I don't know, man. I'm happy for Pete Dunne, Butch, getting better opportunity. I will repeat what I've said before. It feels awkward for Ridge Holland to get a pop from the crowd. I mean, look, accidents happen. You know, what happened with Big E? He is very much hated by fans, and it is a little bit unfair, you know, to be honest. But this just feels forced. You know, Street Profits come out. You got the Brawling Brutes on Raw tonight. Decent reaction because they won a number one contenders match last week. They're going to be taking on the Usos. You know that they have no shot winning those tag titles. Why do you think Solo Sikoa got the NXT North American Championship? So every member of the Bloodline has gold, except for the bearded guy. You know, Sami Zayn is the only one without gold. At this point, if I was Sami Zayn, I would come out with some replica belt of something. Too bad they didn't have the Internet Championship. Something. But every member of the Bloodline has gold, except for Sami Zayn. That's to further show Sami Zayn does not fit and will be used as a pawn, a patsy. So, it would be funny if he won the 24/7 title. You know, but at some point, you know, you almost feel he's got to come out with something. But it does look out of place. Everybody's got a title. Sami Zayn is the only one that doesn't. So the Brawling Brutes, even though I'm really happy that Butch got even a little mic time tonight. Raw is fight night tonight. But it just feels forced. And we know what the outcome is. And the Street Profits tonight, they come out and they cut a promo. And they said, "Yeah, you guys beat everyone else, but you didn't beat us." So now you know that Ridge Holland and Butch are taking on the Usos on SmackDown for the unified WWE tag titles. Do you think that they would lose 4 days before against the Street Profits? So when the Street Profits cut a promo and said, "Yeah, you beat everybody else, but you didn't beat us," you knew what the outcome was going to be tonight. And sure enough, once again, the Street Profits lose. The fact, I tell you, man, you look back at the history of the Street Profits. I mean, I know everybody feels Montez Ford, sky's the limit. And I know it's a little unfair for Angelo Dawkins, but it is what it is. But, you know, if they do split, which you feel is happening, Angelo Dawkins has got to show a little jealousy down the line. They split and they don't reform in any near future. People are going to look back at that tag team run and they're going to compare it to the Rockers. You know, I know, look, they had some, you know, gold in their past, but they should have had a much longer run at the top. And right now, it almost feels like it reminds me of the Rockers back in the day. Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't want Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty to become tag champs at that time. For me, it was more about Demolition and the Nasty Boys and the Natural Disasters and the Powers of Pain, you know, and then the Legion of Doom. So, you know, I put the Rockers in the Bushwhackers territory. Like, oh, yeah, I don't mind watching them, but I don't want them to become champions. But you don't want a barbershop segment with the Street Profits. Because remember, Shawn Michaels is the one that destroyed Marty Jannetty, and Shawn Michaels is the one that went to much higher. And I don't want to see Montez Ford, the one turning heel. It makes no sense whatsoever. Especially that they are celebrated as one of WWE's power couple, Bianca Belair and Montez Ford. You don't turn them heel. No way. If you're going to turn them heel, you turn them heel as a tag team. You don't turn them heel as a singles wrestler. But the Brawling Brutes tonight beat the Street Profits just to give the suspension of disbelief that there's some momentum going on with that team. But we know it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. So that was pretty much Raw tonight. Now, there was one thing. Oh, yeah, there was one thing I wanted to show you. We were talking about the White Rabbit thing earlier. And, you know, it's for 9:23 at 9:23 p.m. Friday, September 23rd at 9:23 p.m., that reveal should happen. And like we talked about earlier, it's probably going to be Karrion Kross. Maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised and maybe it's something else. But do you know that tonight at 9:23 p.m., at exactly 9:23 p.m., a fan walked across the center camera holding up a QR code, and that QR code, when you zapped it, took you to the WWE website. So WWE actually had a fan walk across the front with the QR code tonight at exactly 9:23 p.m. Now you see him in a top right-hand corner, like 1 o'clock if you're looking at your clock. Now, for me, though, if too bad it wasn't, instead of 9:23 p.m. on Friday, 9:23, too bad it wasn't 9:24 p.m. on Saturday, 9:24. Because if it would have been 9:24 instead of 9:23, this is what we would have saw tonight. I couldn't resist. Some people will get it. Some people would get it. That is for 9:23. At 9:23, this is 9:24. If it was 9:24, that's what we would have gotten tonight. That fan would have been at ringside. And we'll just leave it at that. Who killed the world? You did. Think of the whole promo, the storyline with Karrion Kross and everything he's been saying. That makes sense. I couldn't resist. Come on. Couldn't resist. All right. We're going to start bringing this home. We're already at 69 minutes, and I got to get back into the swing of things a little bit. We're going to do AEW predictions. First, I wanted to congratulate Mandy Rose. She will be off the market soon. She has gotten engaged with Tino Sabatelli, which some of you will remember was in WWE. I think he also had a cup of coffee in AEW. So they are officially engaged. So congrats to both of them. Pretty cool. NXT, tomorrow, Tuesday, the 20th of September, we have Axiom versus Nathan Frazier, match 2 in the best 2 out of 3 falls. Right now, Axiom leads 1-0. Gee, I wonder who's going to win the next match. Gigi Dolin and JC Jane versus Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley. We have Rip Fowler and Jagger Reed versus Malik Blade and Idris Inofi. Cora Jade versus Wendy Chu. Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams versus Andre Chase and Bodie Hayward. Von Wagner versus Sanga. Grayson Waller versus Oro Mensa. And Tyler Bate versus JD McDonough. And the winner gets a shot at the NXT title. Not tomorrow, but in the future. Now, I heard that one or two of those matches may actually not make TV for time constraints. I'm sure it's not the, any of the big matches. Let's talk briefly about AEW Grand Slam. They're going to be in my neck of the woods this Wednesday. And I believe, are they doing Rampage on Thursday? I don't think it's live on Friday, but they're doing Grand Slam. I will not be there. Number one, no press pass. Number two, just got back. You know, I'm still got to get back in the swing of things. It's I'm still way off. I'm still in honeymoon mode. But we have five matches announced for Wednesday's Dynamite, and we have eight matches announced for Friday's Rampage. Now, as far as the matches go, the AEW world title will be decided. The Battle of the Blackpool Combat Club, which is the match we all expected to happen, it's going to be Bryan Danielson versus Jon Moxley. I will tell you right off the bat, there is no need for me to repeat everything that we said 2 weeks ago, because almost every single one of you out there feels the same way. With all of the controversy, with all of the drama that has happened with CM Punk, with Office, with the EVPs, even though Moxley has been their MVP of 2022, Moxley is no question MVP of AEW for 2022. They need the opposite right now. Bryan Danielson is that guy to hold that title with respect, with pride. I'm not saying that Moxley didn't hold it with respect, but that anger, that resentment, that tension, that, you know, it's not just physical visual of blood, but it's that violence and anger. AEW needs to tone it back a little bit. Stop acting like an outcast, a renegade. Everybody's out to get them, because that aura turns more people off. If you look at the last 2 weeks, AEW has been a little bit more free-spirited on TV. Now, I'm not going to lie, I didn't watch much wrestling this week, and I didn't stay for the whole NXT event. I actually left early, and anybody that lives in that Disney area, you'll know where I'm talking about. We went to Paddlefish and had some late dinner. So I actually left a little bit early. When I saw that, you know, the shit wasn't really going down. I mean, honestly, no disrespect. You think I give a shit about JD McDonagh fighting for a title shot? Not yet. Not yet. But, you know, they need to pull back on the drama. You know, you see, you saw the tweet that I said a couple of weeks ago. You look at the media scrum after Clash at the Castle with Triple H. You look at the media scrum with AEW and All Out. Forget CM Punk for a minute. Forget what CM Punk did. Just think about Tony Khan bringing up Crockett, bringing up, you know, oh, we were the only show on Labor Day last year. Now, well, welcome to business. Stop crying like a little bitchy baby. Shut the fuck up. Put on a good product. Have a good time. Give the aura that, you know, hey, you want to enjoy it? Come on in. You look at the Easter eggs with the white rabbits, whatever it fucking ends up being. Did you see people tonight saying, oh, when people were talking about the song, the a cappella that was playing in the crowd, look at the internet wrestling community. They had no idea it was Jefferson Airplane. But you see people out there trying to school. No, just people were just having a good time, hoping that it's Bray Wyatt, hoping that it's this, hoping that, you know, we don't need where you have to feel like you're a smart mark that goes back to the Ring of Honor message board era. And if you don't know your history, there's something wrong with you. You know, Tony Khan needs to change the vibe of AEW. He does that, I'm telling you. There's an old saying, you get more bees with honey. And that's the one thing that's really the main thing. Look, the acclaimed are taking on Swerve and All Glory for the tag titles Wednesday. I've always said to you, there's two ways to do predictions. You could think with this, or you could think with this. And it's very difficult to think with both at the same time, because what you want, who you want to win and who you believe are going to win, are two very different outcomes. And if they did not face the Acclaimed at All Out, I would have gone with Swerve in Our Glory, Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland this Wednesday. But you could feel it. It's organic. The Acclaimed have earned it. There is only one way to go Wednesday, and that is the Acclaimed to become tag champs. I know they're not on the level of the Young Bucks. Of course, they're not on the level of some other tag teams in AEW. They're still very young in their careers. Call it an upset. Call it whatever you want. But I think people will call it the right move. Even though I'm thinking probably more with this than with this, I'm going with the Acclaimed to become the next tag team champions. Then they could lose it to FTR. Then they could lose it to FTR. But the Acclaimed have earned it. They've earned it. This is an organic build that I think, you know, they'll get it. I really believe they'll get it. Now, we have Pac defending the All-Atlantic Championship against Orange Cassidy. You know, this was supposed to feel like an international title. And nothing against Orange Cassidy, but Orange Cassidy does not give me this international vibe. I'm sure he does just fine against a lot of opponents. But Pac, you know, ultimately he's going to go back overseas, and he's going to take that title with him, and he will defend it on shows overseas. So I'm going with Pac to retain the All-Atlantic Championship. Toni Storm defending the Interim Women's Championship against Serena Deeb, Athena, and Britt Baker. Why Ruby Soho is still not part of this, I have no fucking idea, unless maybe she shows up and turns heel. I don't know. But there's no way you take the title off of Toni Storm this early. That would be moronically stupid. Does Jamie Hayter cause Britt Baker to maybe get pinned in this? Possible. I can't see Athena eating the pin because, you know, her usage lately has been atrocious, in my opinion. I think Cole Carter has been used better. Yeah. Anybody remember Cole Carter? Remember that 2-3 week stretch? He left NXT and Tony Khan snatched him up and put him on TV a couple of weeks, and we were supposed to make it feel like, oh, this was next big star on TV. Yeah, he's just standing there along the sidelines with what the fuck's his face? You know, the new entourage they got. Do they even have a name yet? I don't know. Stokely Hathaway's group. All right. Well, anyway, Toni Storm keeps her title. Claudio Castagnoli defending the Ring of Honor Championship against Chris Jericho. And although I would get a kick out of Chris Jericho being the ROH champion and infiltrating sports entertainment into ROH, it is still a dead promotion, just using the titles. You do not take the belt off of Claudio. I say Claudio retains. All right. Rampage this Friday. By the way, the watch parties. Look, I actually, even though I was out this week on Tuesday and Friday, I did enable the watch parties on both nights. So I know some of you still showed up and had a good time, and I'm glad you did. I wish I could have been part of it. You know, it's just Tuesday when you're in that building. One thing about NXT, they catch you live streaming. They catch you, you know, like you could take a picture and you could shoot a little bit, but, you know, you could see people at eyes. And, you know, I had NXT going on my phone the entire time. I had it on mute and I had it in my pocket. But, you know, every time I was checking it to see if anybody wanted to go on the stage, I had to be careful because it's playing on my phone and I didn't want any bullshit. So, but I will be back Tuesday for tomorrow night for the NXT watch party. And, you know, I will be here. So if you want to hang out for a little bit, I'll be back Friday too. But Rampage Friday, we have Action Bronson teaming up with Hook against Matt Menard and Angelo Parker. Now, I know a lot of you out there don't know much about Action Bronson. I am not very knowledgeable in him either. I know he cooks. I know he's a performer. It's going to be a comedy match. Hook and Action Bronson are getting it. This is to give a win for Hook, New York. Need I say more? Yeah, I am not criticizing Action Bronson. He actually is very charismatic. I think they'll enjoy it for as long as it lasts. It's going to be a lot of comedy, but yeah, I'm not criticizing the guy, but he and Hook will win. Sting and Darby Allin taking on the House of Black of Buddy Matthews and Brody King in a no DQ match. I don't know, man. I got to be honest with you. In a perfect world, I would love to see Tony Khan work out something with Malakai Black. As strange as this is going to sound, I think Buddy Matthews and Brody King are going to win. How many times in the last couple of years have we bet against Sting and Darby Allin? I don't think we've ever. This time around, the way the House of Black have been used and misused, I know some people will be like, oh, too little, too late. Listen, the House of Black win Friday, you're going to have people say, oh, too little, too late. I'm actually going with the House of Black. And in a perfect world, since it's a no DQ match, I would love to see Malakai Black return. I'm not breaking news. I'm not saying it's gooda. As a wrestling fan, I would love to see him appear and cause Sting and Darby Allin to match. So, hey, one could hope, right? Eddie Kingston versus Sammy Guevara, the match that we never thought was going to end up happening, is going to happen. Sammy Guevara is one of Tony Khan's all-time favorites. That is his guy. But they're in New York. And does Homicide make a cameo again? I'm not that sure. But I'm going with Eddie Kingston to defeat Sammy Guevara. I think Sammy Guevara is going to get nuclear heat in New York. I think Eddie Kingston is going to get the win. Jay Cargill defending the TBS championship against Diamante. It's not going to be that much of a match. I mean, sure, AEW will probably let it go 5-6 minutes just because they feel it should. That match should be over in 2 minutes tops. Jay Cargill retains. A match that honestly, I don't know why the fuck we're getting this. Rey Fénix versus Jungle Boy. This feels like an opening Dynamite match. You know, Luchasaurus versus the Lucha Bros. How many times do we open up Dynamite with one of those matches? This match just feels like it's being put there for a spot fest. I think common sense, Luchasaurus has to cause Jungle Boy the loss. I think he's got to come out there and beat the fuck out of Jungle Boy. I'm going to go with Rey Fénix to win. And then maybe afterwards, Rey Fénix will try to help Jungle Boy, you know, from Luchasaurus getting the shit beating the shit out of Jungle Boy. So I'm going with Rey Fénix to win. Powerhouse Hobbs versus Ricky Starks. This feud feels like it's lacking something terribly. Hobbs got a little bit of an upper hand, which made sense because if Starks prevails, you know, where does the feud go from here? Now, if Starks wins, it feels like it's even. And they could go another match in the future. I'm going to go with Ricky Starks to defeat Powerhouse Hobbs. I just feel this feud has been lacking a lot. Ricky Starks cut some awesome promos, and he's doing shit online to add that little oomph to it. But the way it's coming across on TV, it's certainly lacking a lot of spice. Wardlow and Samoa Joe versus Tony Nese and Josh Woods. Wardlow and Samoa Joe. I mean, the weird thing about it is I get this strange, odd feeling. Ultimately, we're going to get Samoa Joe versus Wardlow. I think that could be coming around the corner. Wardlow has been okay as a TNT champion, but, you know, they aligned him with FTR. They're aligning him with Samoa Joe. You know, I don't know. I think Wardlow should have been better utilized just being by himself. I don't want any partners. I don't need any partners. It's just me. It's, you know, Wardlow's world. You know, I don't like him aligning with all these various baby faces just to masquerade, you know, that he's not defending the title against someone. So, and we have the Golden Ticket Battle Royal. It is a battle royal for a future AEW World Championship match. And unfortunately for me, I don't really have much feeling about this match because we saw Brody King take on Moxley. It was a decent match. I'm not criticizing it. But if you remember the battle royal that led to that, there was only one person that should have won it. It was Eddie Kingston. My point is that whoever wins it could take on Bryan Danielson next Wednesday, the Wednesday after. It's not going to lead to this giant, big feud. So you could pretty much put anybody in that spot. Me, since I know who I'm going to pick as champion, and that's Bryan Danielson, as we said earlier. The question is, who should Bryan Danielson face out of that group? Now, we don't know the participants, but if I was AEW, believe it or not, I would give it to someone like W. Morrissey. You know, he's only been there for a couple of weeks in a row, but it just feels like it's falling flat already. And man, I watched a little bit of him from this past week, and I don't know, it just feels like he's got that look like, I'm just doing this for the payday. I don't know, just something about it. So I would not be surprised if he were to get it. You could give it to a small guy like Dante Martin, a few people are saying. That's not a bad idea. Sure, you could give it to someone who is worthy of a shot that maybe would not get it under different circumstances. But, you know, I just feel like maybe just a bigger guy that Bryan Danielson could overcome. I think that might be, you know, the way to go. But again, we don't know who the participants are going to be. But, man, I would love Lance Archer. I mean, he was working in Japan. But, man, talk about a guy also that should have been so much further on the food chain. You know, maybe give it to, what's his face? I'm drawing a blank right now. Who was with Tully Blanchard? Brian Cage. And then he was no longer. I give it to Brian Cage. But doesn't feel like they're going to think about how many months have gone by since Brian Cage did that interview and said, oh, AEW apparently has things, you know, future plan for me. Terrible. Terrible. I wouldn't mind Jay Lethal winning it. I'd love Miro to win it. Miro's a great choice. So, but again, we don't know who's actually going to be in it. But the Redeemer. The Redeemer. Yeah, he may actually get involved. Oh, could you imagine the stupidity if Miro turns on Sting and Darby Allin and now becomes the leader of the House of Black? I don't want that to happen. Hangman Page? Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. So that is your matches for Dynamite and Rampage for this week. Little shout out. Hold on. Let me take this off the screen. Little shout out to theme parks. As a theme park enthusiast, how was my trip to World Disney World? And congratulations and everything else. Very quickly, I went to Disney for the last 9 days. Never been to Disney before. Keep in mind, I'm in my early 50s now. So you might feel like a kid at heart, but my body could not take it. The first ride that I chose to go on was Guardians of the Galaxy. I can't even describe. I'll show you the photo next week or this weekend on the sit down. I will show you the photo that shot. And you just look at my wife's face, and you look at my face. I mean, if you want, seriously, if you want to kill someone and you know they have a bad heart, you know, just put them on that ride. I'm telling you, I did not enjoy it. We went to Epcot. I went home half an hour later. We showed up at the park at like 10:30. I was back in the hotel by 12 o'clock. I couldn't deal with it. Now, we went on a lot of other rides. You know, I kind of liked Hollywood Studios the most. You know, we went on the Mickey and Minnie's, you know, Runaway Train. We went on Slinky Dog shit. We went to Magic Kingdom, went to the Halloween party, which was good. We didn't do the boat ride. We were twice. We had reservations. This is one thing I got to tell you all. If you've never been to Disney World, my biggest advice I can give each and every one of you, besides kids, because even though, you know, we figured we go the middle of September, it's back to school, parks won't be as busy. You don't realize is that all the kids that are there are like 4 years old, 5 years old, 3 years old. So they're not old enough for school yet. We went to Monsters, Inc. I went to the President's thing. The President's thing was hilarious. The President's thing, if you watched a YouTube video of it, it's mind-boggling how realistic they all look. But I was looking at Trump as they were doing their thing. And if you watch the video, because they're not real people, it's mechanical. If you watch the video on YouTube, you will even if you despise the man, you will laugh your ass off because all the mannerisms are the same. He's literally standing there. And if you ever see him like standing and he gets fidgety, it did it for like 10 minutes. I couldn't stop laughing. But my advice to each and every one of you is if you don't like rain, don't go. It rained every day. The rain feels good when it's 90 degrees out. But when it rains 3 or 4 hours straight, it sucks. We had ponchos. We had umbrellas. It rains every day. There was one day, I think it was Thursday, it rained from about, no, it was Friday. It rained from 3:30 to 7:30. And I'm talking like 2-3 inches of water on the floor after everything was said and done. It rained way too much. That was the one thing that I hated more than anything about it. Every day it rained. So you have to be prepared that if you go to the parks during the day, you have to be prepared at some points it's going to rain. It may only rain for a few minutes. It could rain for a few hours. Download the AccuWeather app. Very, very good at tracking radar. We pretty much knew when it was going to start raining almost every time, and we, you know, got ourselves, we didn't really get caught in anything. But, you know, when it rains 3-4 hours at a time, you know, kind of like screws up the day a little bit. But I had a good time. And I'm back. Oh, I don't mind the rain. But, you know, when you're out there and see, that's what people don't understand too. The most amount of walking that I get is from my house to the parking lot to get in my car. She has the Apple Watch, and I think one day we walked, 18,000 steps. I'm not kidding. I walked more this past week than I have walked in 20 years, maybe combined. You know, when I trained back in the days when I was doing the managing for indie wrestling and I ran the ropes, you know, they make you run the ropes until you like throw up and everything like that. This was equivalent of like running the ropes, like 800 times. I never walked so much. My favorite park was Hollywood Studios because everything was so close together. Magic Kingdom was fun too. Epcot was my least favorite of them all. We didn't go to Animal Kingdom. I wanted to go on Jungle Cruise. Two times we had it reserved. Two times it rained. And one time I had it reserved and then it said, oh, you can use it. And that was it. So, yeah, so that was, but we had a lot of fun. As far as NXT, I went, and there was kind of a problem. There was some miscommunication. If anybody's ever thinking about going to NXT, you know, an NXT event at the Performance Center, let me explain to you how they do things. You meet at Full Sail University. You meet in their parking lot. and they give you, you know, it, whether it's a wristband or they give you a tag, whatever it is, they give you something there. And then they have buses that you could get on, and for about 5-6 minutes, the bus takes you from the Full Sail University to the Performance Center. It's only about 5-10 minutes away. When I got the email, they said that they have a limited number of parking spaces at the Performance Center, especially if anybody with disabilities or anything like that. So I emailed someone and I said, I'm going to just drive straight to the Performance Center. And I have a permit anyway, so I'm going to park at the Performance Center. What I didn't realize is that even if I was going to park at the Performance Center, I had to stop at Full Sail University to get the pass to go to NXT. Then I could drive there. Me, I was like, nah, man, I fucking went straight to the Performance Center. And then they're like, okay, where's your pass? I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, oh, you were supposed to. So I ended up getting in. But, you know, somebody got to meet Caden Carter and Katana Chance, you know, and few people saw the Don Tony shirt and they're like, oh shit, Don Tony. Took a couple of pictures. You'll see them pop up online. But, you know, I was thinking like, okay, you know, Tony D'Angelo going to come out? Came out for the match. I was on the right side, about maybe 5 rows up, and I thought I locked eyes like 2-3 times. We both had the Don Tony shirts on. I thought, you know, maybe later on that, you know, because I said it enough online about nobody came out, nobody said anything, you know, and after about 90 minutes, we were like, what do you want to do? And like, I'm hungry. And I'm like, let's go. We fucking left. We left. And we went to Paddlefish and we ate food. So it was good. If you get the opportunity to go, go. You will have a great time. The crowd there is small, but it's fun. And you see some of the usual people you see on TV. They're there every single time. It reminded me a little bit of the ECW arena. Because even when I used to go to the ECW arena back in the 90s, even if you got there early, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to sit front row. You know, Hammerstein was a little bit different. But you go to ECW arena, you got the usuals. They sit in their spots. Oh, no. Even though that spot's empty, no, that's for Jose. That's for Rob. That's for Juan. No. You, and out of respect, you say, okay, no problem. So there were a few people that were there like, no. You know, we have certain, the people were giving us a little bit of heads up. But it is loud in there. It's a fun atmosphere. I mean, I will tell you one last thing about this and we'll start wrapping up. This isn't like TNA from back in the day at Universal Studios, where you just have random people coming in, maybe cooling off a little bit, getting a little, you know, break from the sun and just watching a little bit of wrestling, even if they weren't wrestling fans. You know, as weird as this sounds, anybody remember the controversy with TNA and the cast members? Anybody remember that? I still have that audio. When they told all the fans there, you know, your cast members, you're helping us. And they were telling them how to talk and how to chant. And don't say this. If you're going to say BS, say BS. Don't say the curse word. I will tell you this. After all of these years ripping TNA for that cast members segment, I now understand why they use it. In Florida, when it comes to Disney and Universal, and even TNA from back in the day, they love the term cast members. They don't like calling people employees. You're a cast member. You're a member to help. And when TNA wanted everybody in the building to be part of the show and help dictate a scenario. So if somebody was a heel, they wanted everybody to shit on that person. But they didn't want you to curse. They didn't want you to do this. But when they use the cast members, I now understand that is a regularly commonly used term in that neck of the woods. But I will say this, in NXT, you do not have cast members. And what I mean by that is everybody that's there is an NXT fan. And boy, are they NXT fans. You know, it's when you go to a wrestling event and fans are into the shit that they're watching, it makes it so much more fun. I mean, this was, I mean, it was great vibe. Nobody was being an asshole. Everybody was friendly. It felt like there was a family in there. Like you could see, even like when we saw people, when the buses showed up, you know, you could see that there's a sense of pride in there. But WWE, I think, has it a little bit too organized, in my opinion. I mean, I understand why. They don't want people parking and hanging out at the performance center, especially after piss milk shit guy, you know. I was actually looking for him. I was looking around. I'm like, where's piss milk shit guy? And they're like, no, he hasn't been around here in quite some time. So, you know, look, when somebody gets shot at their, you know, they're not in the hood. They're not in the greatest of neighborhood either, from what I could see, but they're not in the hood. You know, it's not like gang violence out in the, but yeah, they're a little bit they're actually a lot hesitant about people hanging around the performance center. Charlie, if you don't know who that is, go on YouTube. Type in piss, milk, shit guy. It's sad. A deranged wrestling fan who has a lot of mental issues. He got shot at the performance center, went to jail, got out of jail, and still showed up at the performance center. Armando Alejandro Montalvo. That's his name. Pretty sick person. I hope he's taking his meds, man. You don't ever want to see someone, you know, deter. I mean, it's kind of like funny to a certain point until somebody, you know, he got shot, man. Can you imagine in his mind the revenge? Oh, I hope that never happens, man. So anyway, before we get out of here, as I said earlier, Impact drew 67,000 viewers, which is horrendous. Rampage did 470, which is up from last week's 429, but still down from 2 weeks ago. SmackDown did 2,212,000, which is an excellent number. NXT, 728. But I wanted to show you this. This is courtesy of Brandon Thurston. He does the quarter hour breakdown. I wanted to show you this past Wednesday's Dynamite. And I'll be honest with you. You know me, I'm a ratings nut. And I dissect everything. But I also don't focus on demos because the only people who should give a shit about the demos are the promotions, the networks, and the advertisers, not us. But I want you to look at the quarter hour breakdown for this past Wednesday's Dynamite. That is spectacular. And not because of the 1,175,000. We have had so many episodes of Dynamite where the viewership drops 450,000 viewers by the end of the night. They opened up with 1,198,000. They closed at 1,188,000. And if you look at their quarter hour ratings, you had the first hour, the ratings were only about 10,000 viewers difference. Now, of course, the quarter hour with the women's match took a little bit of a drop. But guys, gals, look at the number closely. If you want to be infatuated about 18 to 49 demographic, the rating for the women's match only went down about 50,000 viewers. That is nothing. We have had main events with the young, look at Young Bucks, Kenny Omega. Look at the, did anybody pay attention for many, many weeks to pass? That is nothing. Even the overall rating, it only went down about 124,000 viewers. That's nothing. That is nothing. That is not even 10% of the audience. This, in the history of AEW televised programming, I think this is the most consistent rating that they've ever drawn. And it's not about the size of the viewership. It's how they were able to maintain their audience the entire night. If I was AEW, of all, and we didn't have any hometown hero like Daniel Garcia main eventing. We didn't have any future like Darby Allin main eventing. We didn't have somebody main eventing because they're in somebody's hometown. No, they put the big boys to close it out. Brian Danielson and Chris Jericho. They opened up with Jon Moxley versus Sammy Guevara, and they closed with Jericho versus Brian Danielson. They set this up excellent. They maintained their audience the entire night. This is the best I've ever seen them do. Even if this viewership was 700,000 viewers, this is the most consistent AEW has ever done for any episode of their televised product, whether it's Rampage or Dynamite. If I was AEW, this past week, September 14th, is the best televised week in their history. Keeping that viewership the way they did is a big fucking deal. They should be most proud. I mean, don't get me wrong. They have had some epic moments, bigger moments, take place on TV. But as far as the entire show from start to finish, that was their best episode ever. Best episode ever. And the Young Bucks were not on it. Nothing against them. Kenny Omega was not on it. CM Punk was not on it. The Undisputed Elite was not on it. That just goes to show you, if you put on a good product, position things the right way, and not because, oh, they'll get a bigger pop because they're in this person's hometown and you could have... No, if you present it the right way and you just put it out there and you think of a plan that you want them to stay glued from beginning to end and not do... This is the result. I think the weird thing about it is, look, Tony Khan needs Kenny Omega. He needs the Young Bucks. He needs Christopher Daniels. As I told you 2 weeks ago, the Christopher Daniels suspension was going to be up in a week. And we were right. And the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, people are saying until November, trust me, it'll end sooner than that. Believe me, everything that I've told you has happened so far. But they're absolutely needed by Tony Khan. But you see the last 2 weeks, they have taken a little bit of a different position on what's been seen on TV, and you see the result of it. They should really pay very close attention of what they did this past Wednesday. So, all right, guys, gals, I'm going to jet out of here. It's been fun. We're actually almost 2 hours, which is fine. But I still am trying to catch up on some sleep. So if you're a member of our Patreon family, patreon.com/DonTony, I will be live tomorrow night right after NXT. It is an off-the-cuff episode, so everybody that tunes in will have an opportunity to send in a question in advance. Now, the next Q&A for here on YouTube and across the other platforms, we're going to do the next Q&A for next Thursday. So tonight, I'm going to put on YouTube in a community section for everybody. Tonight, I'm going to put up a thread if you want to submit a question or two that you want me to answer next Thursday. Or you can email me, and the email address is easy. It's dontony@dontony.com. Doesn't get any easier than that. We were originally going to do it this Thursday, but because of so much going on, we're going to keep it open for an extra week. But I'll be here tomorrow for the NXT watch party. I will also be on Patreon tomorrow night right after NXT. And then if that doesn't float your boat, Wednesday, right after AEW Dynamite Grand Slam, I'll be right here recapping that show. We'll talk a little bit about NXT and anything else that breaks in the AEW/NXT world. So everyone, it's been real. I thank you all for the kind words. The support has been incredible. And I'm happy to be back. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I really had a blast, you know, those 9+ days in Florida. But I'm glad to be back. And we had a fun episode of Raw tonight. Some great news with Survivor Series and, you know, Saudi Arabia stuff. You know, we have some advancement with Extreme Rules with the matches. This Friday, you know, Braun Strowman will be taking on Otis, which will be fun. And we'll see the, you know, start to, it's going to be pretty interesting because we have Extreme Rules coming up. But you know, there's going to be a little bit of a push towards Crown Jewel, which is not until November. Remember, we're still about a month and a half away to Crown Jewel, so they got plenty of time. But we have Survivor Series, and we have Extreme Rules. So we have three events within a 2-month span of each other, and the storylines are going to overlap them. So you're going to see a little bit of a tease now built in the Survivor Series, and that's why with the Sami Zayn discussion we had earlier, you know, we all figured by now Sami Zayn would have gotten his ass kicked out of the Bloodline. But now you see the way things are being positioned. I think Solo Sikoa is going to be that wild card that ultimately is going to push Sami Zayn out the door. And the way I feel right now is it's going to be the Bloodline versus a team led by Kevin Owens at Survivor Series War Games. And I think Sami Zayn will cause the Bloodline to lose that match. And he's the weak link of the Bloodline. And he is going to, that will be the beginning of the end of Sami Zayn in the Bloodline. So, yes, the Mets are in the playoffs. I can't believe it. The Mets have been in existence since 1962. That is 60 years. Only 10 years of those 60, they've been in the playoffs. That's wild. I mean, I know the 60s, they were inept up until 69. The 70s were horrendous other than 73. 80s, you know, they just partied a little bit too much and some injuries fucked them up as well. But to think out of 60 years, they've only been in the playoffs 10 of those 60 years. That's wild. That's wild. But yeah, tonight they clinched. They're in the playoffs. So yeah, the plane wasn't bad. I was on Valiums. And it relaxed me big time. I will tell you this before I go off the air, as I only do. I pooped like a champion. I crapped my brains out while I was there. I don't know if it was from just, I gained no weight. I expected to come back 10 pounds heavier. I gained no weight. I gained like a pound. I came back, I went on the scale. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. So I was blown away, but I pooped. I pooped and I pooped and I pooped. There was one fucked up moment. We were in a restaurant called Steakhouse 71, which is a pretty upscale steakhouse that they have there. I went to the bathroom and I had to blow my nose and I wanted to wash my hands. And there was a guy in the stall. And all I kept hearing was, the guy farted and crapped like no one else. And I'm in there and I was going to hit record on my phone, but there was mirrors and I was afraid that the guy was going to hear, you know, with the phone. So I didn't, I washed my hands. I blew my nose. So anyway, he flushed the toilet. And as he flushed the toilet, I said, I got to see this, who this guy is. I expect him to be like 90-year-old guy. Guy came out. He was like maybe in his 20s. He got up and he left. He didn't even wash his fucking hands. I was like, that is fucking disgusting. I mean, I'm sure there's been at some point with some of you that you maybe take a leak and you forget to. This guy pooped and farted, and I heard things plopping and dropping. And that motherfucker flushed the toilet. I expected an 85-year-old man to come out. Fucking guy in his 20s. He walked right out. Unless he washed his hands in the toilet, he didn't even wash his hands. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So I'll show you some pictures later on this weekend when we do the sit down on Sunday. That'll be the most laid back show. So I'm out of here, everyone. Much love as always. Thank you for the support. And in the comment section, did I sell you on the idea that it's going to be carrying cross with this? you know, remember, Zoe Stark returned. She was already there. It was just an injury. I know Karrion Kross is not injured, but I just, why would Bray Wyatt return on 9/23? At 9/23? Why? I don't know. I just feel it's going to be Karrion Kross. I'd love for it to be Charlotte Flair. I just to piss people off. Just to piss people off. But, you know, curious what you think. Look, I'm not evaluating Kross, Bray Wyatt, or Charlotte. I'm just telling you who I would love to see just to troll people and who I think it's going to be. Didn't say if I liked it or didn't like it. I just can't help but to think about the QR stuff that they did with Zoe Stark, and that was awful. You go back and you look at those hints when she came back. That was fucking awful. There was no reason to do it. It was a waste of time, in my opinion. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Be well. And where's my buttons?
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now, that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.